invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And I believe this is going to be the last message regarding the Old and New Testaments. We've had a series of messages where we considered about the Old Testament and the law that was a result of that. And then the New Testament and different aspects and features and facets of these. And in the last message there in Galatians, we saw a summary regarding those testaments and the law of the Old Testament. In this message, though, we want to take a look at something that our Lord Jesus said, and also something that Brother John the Apostle writes in one of his epistles that indeed are connected to this. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse number 36, Matthew chapter 22, verse number 36, the Lord had this man come to him, and he asked this question, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse number 40. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so I don't know what you think of when you hear those words, "on these two commandments hang." They're suspended. They are, it's critical. It becomes a great summary of these two points made about the law and all that the prophets wrote. The Old and New Testaments were ordained and completed with blood, as we've seen that. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, ordained with the blood of an animal and fulfilled with the blood of an animal over and over again. The New Testament, however, is ordained with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilled with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ once. And Lord, I remind you of this passage in Luke 22:20, the Lord Jesus, and we just want to, we've sought to delve into the significance of this. Luke 22:20, the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper there, he says, "Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." And that's the testament, that's the testament that we desire as one fulfilled and completed by our Lord Jesus Christ. In this, and our look-see into this subject, we see that the Old Testament had a law or commandments related to them. They were the conditions of the testament that the Lord gave unto Israel, that small sampling of mankind there. Exodus chapter 20 is a summary of those laws. And in their fullest extent, they're contained in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, and the book of Numbers. And it could even be certainly argued that Brother Moses in Deuteronomy, as he preaches to the children of Israel, the second generation, as they go into the land of Canaan, he summarizes and tells and reminds them of many things ordained by the law, by the Lord in his law. Yet the New Testament, did you know that the New Testament has commandments too? The New Testament has commandments too. In John chapter 14, take a look over here. The Lord Jesus here dealing with his disciples, helping them to understand that he is God and that they might receive that. Again, we see in the Gospels how our Lord Jesus is always deferring honor and glory unto the Father until that time of his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And he's dealing here with Philip and Thomas and such. And he speaks again there in verses 9, 10, 11 about believing. Verse number 12, believing in him and resting and trusting in him, and about asking him about the need that they would have in verse 14. And then in verse 15, he's going to change the subject and he's going to talk about his provision for them going forward after his resurrection, after his ascension, completing of the gospel and his final ascension. And he starts this off in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So Jesus says that. He says he has commandments too. God gave commandments by Moses unto the children of Israel and the moral law unto mankind. But Jesus says, I've got some commandments too. And you need to keep them. If you love me, you need to keep them indeed. You know, our Lord Jesus is the mediator and intercessor that we need. We've touched upon that recently. Preached on it up in Ohio here recently. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And I'm of the opinion and understanding this and looking to this, what we see from the Old Testament scriptures, the Lord Jesus has been that mediator from the garden. From the garden on, from Adam's sin on, Jesus has been that mediator. And some of the things that Jesus says in the future, maybe we'll look to bring that out as the Lord leads, but he is that mediator indeed. And we know about him appearing unto Abraham, and we know about him appearing unto Joshua, and we know about him there leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and so on. So many things and references to our Lord Jesus there as he meets with Jacob and is there also. And so many things. And it says here in 1 Timothy 2, 5, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Not only a mediator, but an intercessor, one that could take up and make up the difference, the slack, if you will. You and I can't take care of our sins or pay for a thing, but Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. So, if Jesus says he has commandments and he says love is expressed towards him by keeping his commandments, well, what are they? Listen to what the Lord Jesus says regarding the commandments of the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 5, Brother Doug is here in the Sermon on the Mount and appreciate his lessons regarding such. And look here in this first chapter of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse number 17. Jesus says this about the Old Testament commandments. The commandments, the law, that's a provision of the Old Testament. Listen to what he says. Verse 17 of Matthew 5. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Everything given up into that time. Or the prophets. He says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or what the prophets have said. Clarity? I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So we see that and we understand that even from our study thus far. But our Lord Jesus declares it there plainly regarding those Old Testament commandments that come and we see and are there in the law. So what are the commandments of the New Testament? What are those commandments that Jesus has? He says he's come to fulfill the old, and praise God he has, because by that righteousness, his righteousness, it's imputed unto sinners. And by such we are justified by the righteousness of our Lord Jesus imputed unto us. So what are these commandments? If you love me, keep my commandments. What's he saying there? What's he getting at? Well, there's a lot of things that are said in the New Testament, but I tell you, we always do well to start at the beginning, don't we? So what are the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, how about three? Let's take a look at three of them. First, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And notice how it's written here. Notice how the Lord Jesus declares it. Commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 15, here John has been put in prison, and Jesus is beginning his ministry and preaching. It says in verse 14, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. It's not a suggestion. It's not good advice. It's the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, declared by him unto you and me. Repent and believe the gospel. Doesn't say if you want to. Doesn't say if you feel like it. It's a declaration unto men, women, boys, and girls to repent and believe the gospel. What about the second? What about the second command? And we need not chase the first one anymore because the Lord Jesus, Mark, makes it very plain there. Well, let's take a look at the second. And we don't have anything here that just says this, at least to my recollection and study, that just says this outright. But we see this indeed by pattern and by example in the scripture. In this same book here, in the same chapter, in Mark chapter 1, look at verse number 4. John the Baptist, did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for, or because, the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, listen, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. John preached, repent and believe in the one that I'm preaching and be baptized, to show that, to declare that. And so John is sent and preached, repent, believe in the Christ, the deliverer that I'm preaching, and be baptized to show forth what the Lord has done in you. In John chapter 1, we see here what John says. In John chapter 1, verse number 33, and John says this regarding he knowing who the Messiah and the Christ would be. And he says this, and I knew him not, verse 33 of John 1, but he that sent me to baptize with water. John is a man sent to baptize. John's a man sent to baptize and preach the message, the baptism of repentance because of repentance. And so he's been sent. It's not of his own volition, an own thought, an idea, but he's been sent on a mission to do this. Okay, so get that point. John has been sent to do this. And I knew him not, the Lord Jesus in his flesh, but he that sent me, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit of God. And so John was preached, repent and believe and be baptized to show forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, effectual in you. And John the Baptist was sent by the Lord to baptize, and hence his name, John the Baptist, right? And then in Matthew chapter 3, we take a look over here, and we see this about the Lord Jesus and the beginning of his ministry and coming to this point. He's 30 years old. And what do we see here? In Matthew 3, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John the Baptist, to be baptized of him. And John said, no, John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John says, no, I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And so the Lord Jesus goes to John to be baptized of him. And the Lord Jesus says, this is the fulfilling of righteousness. This is the design and the plan. We see over in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, we see this. In verse number 22, John 3, verse number 22, after these things, the Lord dealing with Nicodemus, came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Some of them being baptized yet of John, but some of them being baptized of the Lord Jesus. We come over here to chapter 4, and we get more clarity regarding this. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John the Baptist, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So we see this transference of baptism from John the Baptist, who is sent from God, and Jesus going and being baptized by him. And then in the Lord's ministry, the Lord Jesus, as the authority, is baptizing by virtue of his disciples. All Jesus didn't baptize anybody personally. He knew that would create a problem for us, I believe. And so, but by his church, by his disciples, baptism continued to be administered. By this time, or coming soon, rather, in days and weeks to come, John the Baptist is going to be gone from the scene. He's going to be martyred for the Lord. And then we come, we'll take this passage and to understand and make the point. In Acts chapter 19, Jesus' ministry goes on. Jesus fulfills his gospel. Jesus raises from the dead, meets with the church there for 40 days before Pentecost, and ascends into the Father. And the likes of a man, Saul of Tarsus, is saved. And what's this man found doing? He's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, he's telling folks, repent of your sins, believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what? Well, let's see what he says here, what the scripture says here. In Acts chapter 19, here Paul is in Ephesus, and he speaks to these disciples that know about the Lord and know about John's ministry and such as that. He asks them about their baptism, and they say, well, they're in verse 3, they're baptized into John's baptism. It looks like one of John's disciples going around baptizing or putting people under the water, claiming what John did to them. And Paul preaches unto them this in verse number 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. And that's John's message. That is on Christ Jesus. And so Paul makes the connection for him. He says he's come and he is the Messiah and his name is Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so here we've got Paul, a minister of the Lord, an apostle of the Lord, one called out in due time, who's doing the same thing that John did, who's doing the same thing that the Lord Jesus did in his church amongst his disciples. How did we get from John baptizing to down here to the apostle Paul, the last of the apostles, baptizing? Because Jesus says baptism is important. The command of the Lord is to repent, believe, and be baptized. Now understand, baptism is not salvation. But baptism is a public declaration of salvation. And anyone that is saved should be baptized. Should be baptized. That's the design. That is the work of the Lord. That is the thing that he has declared should be done. Now, do men and women do different things? Well, you and I all know that we know folks that are saved that have not been scripturally baptized. But what's the design of the Lord? If somebody would come up to the Lord and said, Lord, I've been saved. What do you think I should do? He said, well, you know, if it works out for you, won't you be baptized? The declaration of the Word of God is, John said, if you've repented, if you've believed and trusted in Christ, he saved you, be baptized. It's a command of the Lord. The Lord Jesus and what he has given unto mankind and what he has given to us in his word has no other design. Now, I know men and women do other things, but the design and pattern of the Lord is to repent, believe, and be baptized. Again, baptism not for salvation, but obedience to the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what the Lord said. And then thirdly, let's take a look at this. In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, what does Jesus command? What are his commandments? And there are many more, especially when we get off here into following and understanding about the church and what the Lord has given to us in his church. There's many commandments that are there. And then Brother Doug and his study on the Sermon on the Mount, there are many commandments and things that he straightens out there, missupposing of men that the Lord Jesus straightens out. In Matthew 16, verse number 24, we see this. What's the third commandment that the Lord gives right on the top? Jesus said unto his disciples, are you a disciple of the Lord? Are you a child of the Lord? Have you been saved by him? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Is that a suggestion? Is that a good advice? No, it's a command of the Lord Jesus. If you're my disciple, follow me. Follow me. And as the Lord gave there in John, in the Gospel of John, about indeed us abiding in our Lord Jesus Christ, we're to live in him as he lives in us. And so here we see some three fundamental and foundational commands of the Lord Jesus Christ in this New Testament. You know what? You know what I think that we're beginning to see? If we will understand and take a look at this, that the commandments, the law from the Old Testament, it's really about the same as the new. It's really about the same as the new. What do you think about that? Do you think, well, I don't know, Brother Jim. Well, I understand that. Let's go over here to 1 John chapter 2 and see what our brother tells us, what our Lord tells us and instructs us here. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. Now, where's the beginning? Oh, that's all the way back to the beginning, isn't it? The beginning is the beginning, is it not? We took a look at the beginning in our nursing home service on Thursday, all the way back there in Genesis. John says, I write no new commandment unto you. I write unto you, I will remind you of the old commandment that we had from the beginning. What's he say here? The old commandment is the Word. The Word. Now, one of Jesus' names is the Word. And all that Old Testament scripture, law and commands and writings of the prophets, the chastisement of God on his nation, the deliverance by God of his nation, his dealing with Abraham, all of that is the Word of the Lord. He says, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the Word which ye have heard from the beginning. What's it go on to say? Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Well, wait a minute. He said, I'm not writing a new commandment. He says, I'm reminding you about the old commandment. He said, I do have a new commandment that to write unto you, which thing is true in him, in our Lord, and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Now, who's the light? The Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that the Lord Jesus tells us, commands us, and instructs us in, gives us light. The Spirit of God within us, by the Lord Jesus, is light, is it not? And listen to what he says. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness until now. You say you're in the light, walking in the light of our Lord, hate your brother, you're in darkness. He that loveth his brother, verse number 10, abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Love. Love for the brethren. Hating a brother, claiming to be in the light, you and I are in darkness if we claim such, if we do such. But if we love our brethren, and we abide in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in that one. But he that hateth his brother, verse 11, is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So John writes, telling us, reminding us, of an old commandment. He says, that is the Word. That is the Word which we have heard from the beginning. And you know, folded up in the Old Testament and in the law that's a provision of the Old Testament, you know what's rolled up in there? these verses. I'm going to read them to you. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Deuteronomy 11:1. There's a pattern here. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments alway. Deuteronomy 11:13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command to you this day, the Lord speaking, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 11:22. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, and to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to cleave unto him. You see a pattern there? Brother Moses, preaching to the children of Israel, has understood and been blessed to understand that the commandments of the Lord given unto them are the love of the Lord towards them and the way that they can love the Lord themselves. To obey, to be in obedience. It's been that way from the beginning. To obey the Lord in all of his charge. There's a handful more here in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 19:9, if thou shalt keep all these commandments. Do you see that? That the love of the Lord is associated with the commandments and obeying him? If you shall keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more for thee besides these three. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with thy soul, that thou mayest live. There's two more here in Deuteronomy in 30, 16 and 30, verse 20. And again, those words are there, to love the Lord thy God, to love the Lord your God. But you know who else got a hold of this? Brother Joshua. Brother Joshua got a hold of it too. He came to understand, and listen to what he declares in Joshua 22:5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Brother Joshua saw it too. The Lord expressed and showed his love for the nation of Israel. And he gave them a way that was a blessed way because he loved them. And they could show their love unto him for his rescue for them and his provision for them, his blessing upon them by obedience, by walking with him. And as Brother Joshua said, you make sure that you cleave to him. Joshua 23:11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. I tell you what, that is good advice, isn't it? To love the Lord. So the old commandment that Brother John talks about, this word that we have received, rolled up in that indeed, it's all been pointing to love the Lord who has loved us. Love God with all you have and are. That equals the old commandment. So then we take a look here. The new commandment that Brother John writes about here that we read in chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 there, the new commandment is spelled out very clearly, to love your brother. To love your brother. The new commandment is to love your brother and I believe your neighbor as self. And this has been at hand from the beginning too. Listen to this statement. To love God is to love that which is created in his image and his likeness. Mankind represents God Almighty, having been made in his image and his likeness. And to hate a man, to hate a woman, is to hate God Almighty. Because he is the giver of life, the giver of the soul, the giver of the person. We are he is represented in us, in his creation. Isn't that something? To love God is to love that which is created in his image and his likeness. It's one thing to love a dog. It's one thing to love a cat or a cow or a goat or that. And seriously, love is really love from the Bible definition is a misplaced thing. We would have affection for. We have a pet that dies. We would cry over it because we would miss them. I understand that. I understand that. But that's not what this is. Love by God unto mankind and mankind towards God. That is a zip code in and of itself. Because God has made us in his image and his likeness. 2 John 1, or 2 John verse 5. Take a look over here. More clarity. And now I beseech thee, lady. There's debate whether Brother John is writing to a sister in the Lord or writing to a church. I'm of the opinion he's writing to a church, but it's no matter. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. The old commandment. It's the new commandment too. It all is the same. It all points to the same thing, doesn't it? It's all the difference of one of those Old Testament Jews seeing the law of God as a way of salvation and their service to God with rigor. Or a man like Brother David that saw the law of God as God's blessing upon him to take him and guide him because he understood about being a sheep that needed a shepherd. What a wonderful God has provided all things to enjoy and given life and then had to do with us, to speak to us comfortably and to help us and to save us and to have a future for us. It's a fine line, isn't it? In Romans chapter 13, we have another scripture that tells us about this over here on the New Testament side of things. Brother Paul writing to the church at Corinth. What does he declare? Verse number 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. No man. It's not only talking about brother, is it? Or sister, it's talking about neighbor too. It's talking about sinner that is without Christ, isn't it? No man. Owe no man anything. Just owe him to love him. To love him. What's he go on to say? What our Lord tell us through our brother? For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Old and new. Isn't that something? Isn't that something how, I tell you what, the wisdom of God and his word and his working and dealing with us, I tell you what, oh, may God help us that we might see more of that and that we might take it and bring it to our hearts and our lives. The Lord would work in us to change us and use us for his honor and his glory and his service. As the brother pointed out, if there is anything good or blessed that comes from our lives, may we praise our Lord in it, but may we be used of our Lord in such a thing. There's no better than the heavenly, brothers and sisters. Lost sinner friend, there's no better and there's nothing eternal but that of the Lord. And yet living in this physical realm in life for the time that we have, to the honor and glory of our Lord. In conclusion, there's we read in Matthew 22:36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. See? See how it is? That's the truth. That's the greatest commandment. That's the greatest commandment. And he says, with all that you are in your being, this is the first and great commandment, verse 39, and the second is right up there close to it. Right up there close to it. Why? Because man is made in the image and likeness of God. We represent God. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Indeed, what does it say at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 13? There's three things that remain for the mature child of God. Faith, which faith is a great thing, isn't it? Hope, that comes from what our Lord has promised us. That's a wonderful, great thing, isn't it? From salvation on. And charity. And what's that verse say? And the greatest of these is charity. Love with legs on it. Love unto action. The love of God towards us and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, the love that we have for Him, that we would obey Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the love we have one for another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the love that we have for our neighbors, for sinners that are in need of the Lord, that need that peace, Brother Doug. They need that peace. That peace that we have in our Lord Jesus. Listen, maybe this will help us more with this passage. And if you're here and you're not saved, I tell you what, I beg you, hear the word of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's love. Love for a father to give such a price. Love for the Son to come and give such a price. Love of the Son to be willing to step down to become a man. For the sake of the need of others. For the sake of a mediator. For the sake of an intercessor. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Old and New Testaments. Indeed, the Old and the New are the same, aren't they? They point to the same place. And may God help and bless His Word.